This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, it's hour number five. We are live here at the Globe Rangers Toy Drive, benefiting Mission Arlington, Mission Metroplex. You have the rest of the hour to get here, drop off a toy, pick up at one ticket to a 2025 select Texas Rangers home game, and maybe get some autographs. As it's been quite a show and a lot of fun so far, seeing a lot of familiar faces and Tolos. We have Jared Sandler coming up to talk about the Rangers signings. But I tease Cowboys news going to break there, and I wanted to get that in here. Stephen Jones saying today he expects a very tight offseason in 2025, similar to how it played out in 2024. Brian, I know you were tipping us off on this maybe 6 to 9 months ago about how it's going to be even worse this next year.
Get ready for the purge. Yeah, this is the purge of the Oso Diggy Zuas and the Jordan Lewis's, and here goes the second round of depth, you know, probably out the door. And then now it turns into, can you parlay the draft picks? What priority free agents do we have on our board, like the Span Fords that we can spend $250,000 on and go get? That's the way your team is going to be built, I think, going forward now until maybe they figure some things out.
Hopefully 2026, you know. Yeah, hopefully these next two draft classes can really mature, round into form, have another, you know, well, actually a really good draft class. They need a banger. And then, you know, maybe free up some cap and have an opportunity after you sign Micah Parsons 2026. But they're going to need to stay very healthy next year and have some internal development, especially from Guyton and Beebe, if they want to get back to playing consistent football. As Jared Sandler joins us now right here, Texas Rangers play-by-play man, pre- and post-game show host, insider, sporting a new haircut, Yeah, looks good. And, of course, coming off the big dub from Sunday at Swinging for a Cause right here at the Globe. It was a world-class event, dude, and just props to you for being able to pull that off. I know it's been great a lot for many, many years, and the first one was exceptional, but, man, What a job you guys did.
Well, I appreciate you guys being there. Did you do the soccer, the hardest shot thing? Or?
No, I didn't. I can't kick anymore. No, I got arthritic hips, actually. It's kind of embarrassing.
I was doing the football toss.
Yeah? You get in the hole?
I was pretty embarrassed. I only got one in the hole, and it was in the big hole. So that was pretty disappointing. And I gave it, like, probably 12, 13 attempts. And they had great spot. They were all catchable. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't airmailing these things, but I only put one where it needed to be. So that
Cooper
was definitely
Rush-like.
Disappointing. But then I saw what the Dr. Pepper ones look like at the like for the half times, and it's one hole, and bigger hole.
Chest
I think
pass.
I have more success there.
Just past that thing.
Did,
for the
you,
100
did
grand.
You put on a show at the 3-point?
You know, I didn't get to do it. I did it before we opened up the event. I just took a few shots, and then in the middle of it, I got called to put out a fire quickly.
Okay.
So I never got to do like a 1 minute see, you know, around the, and I was really bummed like that.
Yeah.
I was so excited about that, but it was cool seeing other people enjoy that. Cause that was one of those, I have two types of ideas. One type of idea is the one that everyone's like, no, that's dumb. And the second type is like, oh, man, that's not your best idea, but I guess we can't say no to all your ideas.
Okay.
And that was one of them. And mm-hmm. I was just happy that it wasn't like a total flop.
I'll never forget the time a pickup basketball like 2v2 or 3v3 in Surprise, Arizona at that little park down mm-hmm. by our house. Sandler lost a game and was so mad at himself, he walked home. This is pickup ball with a bunch of 30 and 40 somethings. Mm. You were pretty competitive that day, Sam.
Yeah, I think I made myself walk a couple miles back.
I heard you were ass talking yourself, slapping yourself in the face.
Probably.
Stupid. Short-shaming yourself.
Yeah, no, that's the daily thing.
So the Rangers today announced they've agreed to terms with right-hander Jacob Webb, a reliever, Baltimore. Looked like his numbers were pretty good last year.
Yeah, now before I get into the good, do you guys recall why Rangers fans might remember Jacob Webb?
Is it the Mitch Garver grand slam?
Gave up the Mitch Garver home run, the grand slam. Matt Hicks's, can you take me higher? Yep. Yes, you can.
You want me on that wall? You need me on that wall?
It's coming back for redemption.
That's the guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, Robert De Niro. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So it's one of those moves we talk about all the time. Everyone wants the big, sexy headline-stealing move, and those are important. Those are, they get you Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and Jacob DeGrom. But sometimes, no one really batted an eye when the Rangers signed Kirby Yates last year, right?
No.
And how valuable was he? Jacob Webb, they need depth. They need guys with skins on the wall. They're probably going to be working in some guys with not a lot of skins on the wall in the bullpen and funneling guys in and out. So to have guys who have some experience, and he's been good. He's competed. That's a tough division in the AL East. They play important games, so you like to check that box. And, it's definitely going to – it's not going to excite anyone. No one's throwing a party, but it's going to help fortify the bullpen.
So I saw Jeff Wilson put out they're not – Chris Young said he's not really looking to add more starting pitching other than Roky Sasaki. Mm-hmm. They're always going to keep their ears open, but right now this might be set depending on what happens with Sasaki. Do you think the starting rotation with bringing Eovaldi back is good enough right now?
Yeah, I mean, let's take out the unknown of health, right? And I saw someone – I tweeted a list of all the guys who could vie for a rotation spot, and someone – tweeted over under, games lost to the IL. But, I mean, I'll be honest, and it's a sad reality for our game. You probably could do that for 30 teams, and you probably could legitimately have that response and have some merit to it, right? So I don't think the Rangers are in any different position than any other team in that regard. Here's the reality. If Jacob DeGrom is healthy, you're going to be just fine, right? Hopefully Tyler Malley's healthy. You get, let's just say, 150 innings out of Nathan Eovaldi. I just think people sleep on Cody Bradford. He is really good.
No, he's done good.
Yeah. All right, what sort of step forward do you get from Kamar Rocker? What are you going to get out of Jack Leiter? What are you going to get out of Dane Dunning? John Gray? I mean, you got depth. And I think one thing that people will take away from the Dodgers World Series last year is, when you get Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman together, look what happens. And that is fair. Another thing you have to take away is all the depth they had in their rotation, all the injuries they had throughout the regular season, they don't get to that point without the depth, and the Rangers have done a nice job building up some depth.
What about Jake Berger? It seemed like that's just exactly what they needed, right price point and everything.
Yeah, so a lot of times we look at all right, they need this position, that position. I think sometimes you look at skill set, and one thing the Rangers didn't have much of beyond Corey Seager was a legitimate home run threat. There aren't as many 40 home run hitters these days. So now I need a guy in the middle of the order who's going to get me 30. Now, that could be Adolis. Adolis did not have a good year last year, and I think there's hope that he's going to bounce back. But what if he doesn't? You want some more protection. Jake Berger over his career has hit righties and lefties. Last year was a little more skewed in favor of righties, but I imagine that will normalize a little bit. He can play first and third. I think he's probably better off as a first baseman DH who can play third if you really need. It gives the Rangers some flexibility. We've heard that they've been having conversations about Nathaniel Lowe, and if they do decide to make a move there, now you know the answer to who's going to be the first baseman for this ball club. But let's not forget, Nathaniel Lowe was a really good player for them. He might not give you what some first basemen give you when it comes to power, but he gets on base, and one thing he does a really good job of, which this lineup needs, is he works the count, and he sees pitches. And I just think that you don't want your lineup when it comes to aggression as a hitter to be on one extreme or the other. I don't want a lineup where everyone is the most patient hitter in the world. but I certainly don't want a lineup where everyone is super aggressive. So when you've got your Seegers and your Simeons and your Josh Youngs, guys who are going to go up there swinging, you don't want those guys to change what they do, but you need to balance it out. Nate Lowe offers that. Jake Berger is more of a higher average, not as much on base, but higher slug guy. And if you want a home run threat, a guy who can hit fastballs, the Rangers didn't do a good job of that last year. He's going to address that.
Jared, is this signing of Berger having to do anything with what they did in the front office?
Okay, yeah, that's a,
I mean, is that, am I connecting dots?
Yeah, I'll say this. So Skip Schumacher, incredibly respected former manager of the Marlins, he left. He basically didn't exercise his option
right. Because
he didn't like the direction of that organization. The Rangers have brought him on as an advisor to the baseball operations group. There's some thought that maybe he would take over as manager whenever Bruce Bochy hung him up. I'll tell you that if Bruce Bochy comes back for a fourth year, then there's a good chance Skip Schumacher's managing somewhere else next year. He is very highly respected. I don't think the Rangers get Jake Berger if he doesn't sign off on it, because there's no one in the organization who has been as close to Jake Berger
as
Skip Schumacher. And the reports from Jake about Jake Berger as like a teammate and as a person, A++++. And so that's always great, right? That's a big part of what Chris Young has emphasized, is getting good teammates in here. Now you just hope that the production is top level, and he can be a home run threat in the middle of the order.
How likely is Sasaki? Like, realistically.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rangers have a legitimate chance, but that doesn't mean 50%. That might not even mean 33%, maybe 20%. I think with Sasaki, like, all right, let's take Juan Soto. Juan Soto's played in the majors, and you sort of had an idea of what he wanted, right? Even if the Rangers had the money, it was clear Juan Soto wanted to be in New York. I know Toronto, he entertained Toronto, and maybe he would have liked Boston, but it seemed like he wanted to be in one of those two New York cities, or one of the two New York teams. We don't really know anything about Roki Sasaki. There's reports that he doesn't need a big market, doesn't want a big market, doesn't need another Japanese player to mentor him. There are reports that, you know, his dream has been to play for the... who knows? You know, we just don't know. So what we do know is that the Rangers have a strong presence in the Pacific Rim. They have gone over there, right? Chris Young, when he signed his extension last year, he was actually on a plane to Japan to see Roki Sasaki. So I think the Rangers have certainly made an effort, but I don't know if it's a likely. I don't know how to handicap it, but if that is your hope and dream to get Roki Sasaki, I'd say that the candle's still burning, but I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket.
My hope and dream was just to get Eovaldi back. I think that's a tremendous sign.
Yeah, guys, I just think, so 3 years, $75 million. That's not cheap, right? And at his age, he's going to turn 35 here coming up. I think that you feel really good about when he is on the mound that he is going to compete his tail off and give you a chance to win, right? And if he's your number three, my goodness, that's impressive. I just think there's a lot to be said about the continuity of bringing back one of your leaders on a team that's not the most vocal, right? Nathan Eovaldi is a guy that when he says something, everyone in that room listens, especially that pitcher group. And so I think to some degree, maybe Nathan Eovaldi was more valuable to the Rangers than he would have been to other teams. Although you put him anywhere and he's going to have that impact. He had that immediate impact on this ball club. But I think to lose Nathan Eovaldi probably would have had a negative impact that you can't measure in a computer with the numbers. I think that highly of him as a teammate and the influence he's had on the pitchers. And that's the thing about Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter and Winston Santos and some of the younger pitchers who are either here or coming up, and how much they will benefit from having Nathan Eovaldi around.
He's at Jared Sandler on X, a tremendous play-by-play man, the orchestrator of one of the greatest charity events we've ever seen here at the Globe, and a noted fact-checker, you know, who'll keep you straight on the Texas Rangers. Thank
sure
you,
will.
Sir. Have a great day. We'll see you in a surprise, sir.
See you in surprise.
There he goes.
Happy holidays, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Same
to you. Okay, we got a lot to get to here. Maybe a combo sports hodgepodge, chuck wagon. maybe a sports wagon. I'm not sure exactly, but Woolchuck and Chiafalo are going to knock your sports socks off coming up next right here at the G-Bag.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation, the fan.
From the 25 play action, Young throws the ball, intercepted at the 30-yard line. Coming down the left side is Bland. Catch at the 5. He did it again. He did it again. Undercut the first down pass, and Deron Bland said, I don't think I've scored in about 2 weeks.
Yes, welcome back. The Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. It's the G-Bag Nation here at the Globe. The Rangers Toy Drive hosted by John and Jacqueline Gray. Thank you so much to those guys for having us out. Benefiting Mission Arlington, Mission Metroplex. And if you are in the area, you got about another 30 minutes to bring a toy, $15 of value unwrapped. Drop it off over there. You get a Rangers game ticket while supplies last to a 2025 select home game. You get access to the autographs in the stadium here as we're hanging out. Nice little Christmas party. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. We got both a sports hodgepodge and a chuck wagon here on the show sheet. Boys, how are you going to handle this?
Yeah, the rare sports wagon. I like that quite
a
bit.
Good sports wagon.
Or the chuck podge.
Ooh, I like the chuck podge, too.
I just saw a tweet, and someone said, 12 months from now, we could see Bill Belichick covered in mayonnaise.
Oh, my
gosh. Playing in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl.
With a 7-win Tar Heel team.
That would be legendary.
Dumping mayonnaise on him and him just sitting there.
That'd be awesome.
There's no way, right?
Hey, I didn't think he would be a Tar Heel head coach. That's like a good bet payoff I could do. I don't want to eat any of the mayonnaise, but
you'll swim in it.
Just dunk it on
you.
Yeah,
I'd do something like that.
All right.
I got a flurry now.
Yeah. Well, there's a ton of college football news, and we got a quarterback carousel that is going down right now. Preston Stone from SMU has entered the portal, and he's, of course, a local kid. Spent some time with Highland Park. They went to Parrish. It was great there. Kevin Jennings is just the guy. No question. South Oak Cliff zone. So we'll see where Preston Stone ends up in the portal. Then at Duke, former Texas quarterback Malik Murphy, who led them to a 9-3 record, he's hitting the portal as well.
Again?
Again.
So I guess at 9-3, he proved, hey, I'm a bona fide college football starting
quarterback. So he's going to Notre Dame?
We don't know yet where Malik's going to go. I think he's going to be very, very sought after. But Duke's already got their replacement from the portal as well. Tulane, their quarterback, will be headed to Duke next year.
Couldn't beat Army.
So Darian Mensah will be going from Tulane to Duke. Yeah, he must be. I mean, the name Mike Mensah, he's got to be smart.
Got to be smart.
Then Michigan is expected to hire North Carolina's offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey as their new OC. But the reports are that the new quarterback they stole from LSU, and they gave him, now it's up to $12 million, Bryce Underwood. Yeah. He helped choose the Wolverines' new offensive coordinator in Chip Lindsey. So I guess that's part of this whole thing now. We're going to pay you a bunch of money. We want to make sure, hey, if we're getting a new coach, you better sign off on the coach, I suppose, because you're now the future of Michigan football. So this is, I don't know that they've ever had an incoming freshman go ahead and have an input on who they hire as a coach, but it just happened.
Our coach at Texas A&M said this is about to become a problem.
Paying all these quarterbacks?
No. Freshmen with huge NIL deals coming into programs with established players. They're already, and then not, you know.
Oh, the other players, there's going
to
be issues?
Kinda like, it kind of reminds me of the quarterbacks that used to get paid. Remember how the quarterback market was always, it was $50 million. It was always this really high number.
Right.
And they had never played a snap. They're talking to them now that there's a lot of these programs are going to have these freshmen come in. And we'll see how that dynamic works on these teams, you know, with players that you have that are already established as part of the program.
Yeah, but at some point you get this is now the cycle and you understand the situation. Hey, last year you were that freshman that was getting that money.
Yeah.
Okay, now there's a new cycle of freshmen that come in. Eventually,
they come in and get more money than you. Say you're a player, say you're a 3-year starter at wide receiver. And now there's a guy you're making NIL money, you're making $125,000. Then Michigan quarterback guy walks in and he's making $4 or $5 million a year.
Yeah,
and that even played it down.
Welcome to a little bit of real world situation. Yeah, I mean, that's just,
I guess so.
And
guess
again, you were once, you know, a lot of those guys were that freshman who stepped in and were making good money. Now you're 3 years later, market goes up, and that's just the way it goes. You were that freshman, you hadn't proven anything, and you got your bag. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's becoming the new norm. I mean, I guess that eventually we'll have to just be used to this. But, man, Bryce Underwood, shout out to you, sir. Now, Chase Herbstreit, that is the son of Kirk Herbstreit.
They playing in Nashville? Where's he playing football?
Chase just committed to play in Michigan. Now, Kirk is an Ohio State guy.
Yes.
His son has committed to play at Michigan. Now, this is also where they've got the number one overall recruit, Bryce Underwood. So, I don't know that he expects to really play. But, yeah, his senior, he's in high school in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati
St. Xavier High School. He's 6'2", 185, had 26 touchdowns this past year, led them to a regional final. But, man, congratulations to him. He's the 23rd member of Sharon Moore's first recruiting class there, but I wonder if Kirk's a little bitter. You know, hey, my kid's now going to my arch nemesis in Ohio State.
Which kid do you think transfers first, his kid or the number one overall recruit?
This kid, Chase.
I would say the opposite. This kid's committing there knowing that the number one, this kid's committing to being a backup quarterback. He wants to just be around football. He wants to be a coach or something.
I wonder if the first sign of things going badly, that kid bails.
Maybe.
The number
but gosh,
one recruit
he's getting
bails.
$12 million. I don't know that any other school is going to pony
up more money. I don't think he gets all that up front, right? I don't know the rules on this. Maybe somebody could tell me the rules. Do we get paid $3 million a year, or do we get all $12 million if we stay?
I haven't seen the breakdown. I don't know if it's if you stay. I know some of these schools have gone to performance-based. I know Arizona State did, and that's working out for them.
My understanding was that it was like that was like the lifetime of the deal. $12 million. I don't know that it's $12 million for one season. That would be out of this world.
What if all of a sudden the kid outplays the contract?
Yeah, I feel
where
like
are you at there?
I just kind of assume this stuff is year to year.
Yeah, you got to go multi-year deals with them. If you feel so confident in the kid,
they
you
sign
just, you do a 3-year deal and say you're staying here until you're ready for the NFL.
See,
and
that's what I, that's what
that
I would
risk.
Do. If you told me if I'm recruiting you and you said, listen, I'm going to sign a 1-year deal with you, I'm cool because I know after 1 year I'm not going to have you anymore. But if I can get you to sign for 3 years, well, maybe as this general manager kind of guy, player personnel guy now in college football, Yeah. I can then build my roster out and say, okay, I've got this.
Things you can depend on.
Yeah, I can depend on this guy for 3 years. If I got a one-year guy, I know that, well, I got to get another guy.
Those are really only my blue-chip guys with, like, really good GPAs. Like, if you're toolsy but you run a 4.3 and, you know, you were just okay in high school, you use your speed to run around people, I'm going 1 year. You know, we're prospecting with these kind of guys. I'm going to save my three-year deals because you don't want to be locked in on the other side of that.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're giving, you know, $5-6 million a year for some of these freshmen that are total busts. You got Josh Rosen sitting on your books for three years or something.
No, for sure.
He was a good college quarterback.
He was good in college. Now, Ole Miss quarterback Walker Howard, he's entering the transfer portal. He was a five-star recruit, second-ranked quarterback in the 2022 class. Why is this of note? Well, he was dating Lane Kiffin's daughter there at Ole Miss. I wonder if he's entering the portal because maybe there was a little trouble in paradise there.
I'd want to get
– Dad didn't play him.
Yeah, guy's not going to play you.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they're going to need a new quarterback next year.
You're not getting the benefit of the doubt.
They probably think guys after leaving. They probably think about it, watching him play a little bit in practice and stuff.
Maybe
move on.
You made my daughter cry. Yeah. You ain't starting for me, kiddo. Get your ass in the damn portal.
I don't see him. I don't see him in any TikToks. I always see Dad. Dad's doing crazy things in the TikToks with the daughter.
Not putting the boyfriend in the TikTok.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some feuding going on. And now we've got Joey Joss. This is amazing. He's at it again. The American hero. He ate a world record 21 pounds of cocktail shrimp before the Big Ten championship game. So this was St. Elmo's, okay? Their cocktail shrimp contest.
Did he do it with the sauce?
Yeah.
With the sauce.
Okay.
There's video.
Now I don't need to talk badly about this dude because that right there, one.
Wow.
One.
21 pounds of.
Okay, 21 pounds?
Yeah, 21 pounds.
That's still an insane amount.
21 pounds of that shrimp, that cocktail shrimp with that horseradish sauce the way it is.
He's got iodine poisoning?
He has got gut bomb city going on.
I think it was like, they said it was like 9.5 ounces worth of the cocktail sauce.
So he didn't eat it like the real cocktails because that thing is swimming.
It's the real one.
It had the spice.
Yeah.
So how many cocktails did he eat then?
Well, it was 18 pounds worth of shrimp.
Okay. Well, how many?
Or no, excuse me. It was 21. It was
21 pounds worth of shrimp. Plus
I wonder how many shrimp cocktails that is. That's what I wonder.
Wow. 9.6 ounces of cocktail shrimp in just 8 minutes.
Yeah, how many individual shrimps is that?
Well, they're massive. They're massive.
But still, you're talking about 21 pounds.
Probably four that's per what pound, I say, though. There's like four to a deal, four to, a, I think, to an order, and that it, they're swimming in that sauce. That sauce is no joke. It almost killed Jeff Lurie, the owner for the Eagles.
Well,
we forgot to tell him, don't bite, you know, don't do it. He went down. He was like red and couldn't breathe for a little bit.
Shellfish poisoning?
No, the cocktail, really? The horseradish knocked him on his ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's some potent stuff right there. But this is 2 years in a row. Joey's just topping himself with this record for eating shrimp. It's absolutely amazing what he's got going on here.
Yeah, I just his versatility. I
salute him for that.
We all have like our wheelhouse of, oh, I could crush a bunch of pizza or wings or whatever your thing is. But he is just like, it doesn't matter.
You eat one of those orders, you should be pretty proud because the fresh horseradish in the sauce.
It's so spicy.
It's so overwhelming. You have to eat like in like little bites. You can't even enjoy the whole thing. It's that.
I wonder
spicy.
If it helps that they're doing it outside, so it's a little chilly there in Indianapolis. But I mean, they're just giving them like, oh yeah, look at all the cocktail sauce on his hands here, bro.
Oh, and his whole face is covered in cocktail sauce. This is an unbelievable amount of cocktail sauce. His nose is burning right now.
Everything's burning.
This is no joke here.
Yeah, the sauce is getting into his nose. Yeah. Like he's being super sloppy about it because he just does the shove technique. Yeah. He's got like 9 shrimp in his hand and he just forces it into his own face.
They've had to remove the tails for these guys too.
They do.
They've had to. Have.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I've ever eaten more than 2 or 3 pounds of food at the same time. I think, you know, this guy's not only a legend for his speed, but I got to imagine he'd win marathons too if you can pack 20 pounds of food into your gut.
That's just insane. A physical specimen of studliness.
I've eaten a lot of crawfish in my life. A lot of tail, you know, a lot of
pounds. Oh, you've had a lot of tail too.
Yeah. Wow, I wasn't going to say anything, Woolchuck.
Man, you had a great moment earlier that was a pause moment now that we're in the 6 o'clock hour. I'll tell you off air what it was, but there was something about
Broadus?
Raw, off the bench, coming in here, dudes.
You talking to me?
No,
I have to.
Ball handling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah. There was like a whole like two sentences.
That Raw like, dudes, ball handling
If we just
skills.
Isolated this, yeah, this is masterpiece yeah. of the year right here.
Nice. Dude, I can't wait to hear it. Was this...
This is Dawson, yeah, earlier.
This was me.
I love it.
Dawson? I was in the zone earlier. I'm a little sleep deprived.
Oh, this is Dawson, yes.
You know, so I'm not surprised.
That is hilarious,
I was
dude.
In the zone.
It became egregious when you said ball handling.
I thought you were doing
it. Yeah, I was like, too much. Dumb.
But I did notice everybody missed my Bun B iodine poisoning reference.
No, we heard it. We heard it.
I missed it.
Went over my head. I apologize.
It was there.
Screw you, Lucian.
It was there.
Hey, we have Jimmy Butler adding the Phoenix Suns to his list of teams that he'd be willing to play for. By the way, that's happening now, even though this is Shams reporting that. And then Jimmy Butler's agent came out and basically just totally dunked on Shams about how untrue everything was that he was saying. So we'll see. But Jimmy Butler hasn't come out and denied any of this trade speculation. He said he likes it. And the Heat certainly haven't come out and put a kibosh on it either. So I think there's a little bit of smoke there. We'll just see if and when he ends up getting moved. It seems like he clearly wants to go to a contender. Golden State wants him. But I'm glad that the Mavericks are hopefully not going to be in the mix there.
Suns, Mavs, Rockets is what Sham's saying right now. I would think it's a long shot. But do you think if he goes to Phoenix, which is where he said one of his preferred destinations is that just like a geriatric squad? Or do you think that could put him over the top?
I mean, it's tough. He's so inconsistent now because of just the mileage on his body. I mean, all those Tom Thibodeau years in Chicago where he's just playing every minute, every game, and a couple of those finals runs with the Heat where, I mean, he like can't even get up out of the chair. So he's kind of like one good game and then a couple of games where he's still on ice a little bit. So that's a tough deal. But they're a deep team, and obviously they're going to be in the postseason. That's a guy that you know is always going to bring his best when it comes postseason time. I don't know what you're giving up for Jimmy Butler in that particular trade scenario because he makes plenty of money. I don't know how it's even feasible, but Jimmy Butler on the move seems like it could be something that's real. Ed Werder had a day on Twitter with Chuck Cooperstein.
Even Chuck went at it.
But there was a funny tweet that he had that was tell me what happens here, but this is pretty funny. I don't know if he's getting dunked on in this scenario, but Ed Werder just tweeted out randomly, some people with 12 followers believe they know how to handle post-game Jerry better than the dozens of professional reporters who have that responsibility. This platform will never not be ironic. And then Chad Elsie commented and said, the greatest of us all had 12 followers.
Wow.
Like,
well done.
Chad bringing it strong right now.
Bringing a little levity to the situation.
Yeah, that was a heck of a comment there by old Chad. I appreciated it. Al Michaels looked like he's coming back for Amazon, so good on him. I think he's just year to year with them, but he makes like $1 million a week to call one game.
That's
and
pretty
then
nice.
Have
gig.
Somebody just cut up his
better
steak
games.
For him.
The league got well, even there were divisional games and stuff, but they all became pretty good games.
What do you guys think about this? I'm going to call it. I know it's only Wednesday, but I'm calling this the non-sports headline of the week. Tell me, 10 out of 10, are you clicking on this?
9.
Headline reads, welcome to Kentucky. A man led a police chase through Murray while riding a mule the second time he was arrested on the mule in 3 days.
Huh.
That's the headline.
But correct.
I'm going to believe
No, this is real, dude. I saw the news story
He's
and everything.
Riding a mule, huh?
There's no way you get arrested twice on a mule, but this dude did it.
You can see video of the police chase where he's drunk on his mule, bobbing and weaving through like traffic cones or whatever.
Little
and
chambers.
He's getting chased by looks to be two law enforcement vehicles.
Wow, what a jackass.
Dude, Brian, guess what just happened?
Amen to that. What just happened?
Your guy, Lombardi.
You got a job?
He's their GM now at North Carolina with Bill. Man, we're now the Tar Heels show of record right here. We are so plugged into UNC, wow. It's not even funny.
Brian brought us a job.
Go tell your guy congratulations.
I wonder if I'm going to be assistant GM.
Hey, there you go. Hey,
you guys could get rid of me now. You could just
I don't want to get rid of you. Actually, I'd like a job.
What's Lombardi's number?
What's that?
I'm about playing.
No, I did. I'll text him for you. Like, hey, Dawson wants me to be the assistant GM.
Ask
there.
Him if he wants to come on the show tomorrow. Let's talk about this.
Oh, man.
That's awesome,
I'm
going
to text him. You really got the gig, huh?
That's the report right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. The first ever Sports Podge there with you in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you to Zach and Eric. And thanks to the Texas Rangers for having us out. We're at the toy drive, 19 minutes remaining. So unless you're, like, pulling up to Lot B now and ready to get into that Rangers team store here on the north entrance. I hope you enjoyed the show. We got one more segment. We'll cross with the Fan After Dark, see what they have cooking here for on a Wednesday night of the Fan. Yeah, buddy, we're back live at the Globe. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan here. You're home of the Texas Rangers, and been a great day of fellowshipping with Tolos, interviewing John Gray, Nathaniel Lowe, Mike Bassick, even Jared Sandler was pretty outstanding as well. And now we're about to hand it off to the Fan After Dark as Fred and Blake are set to rock and roll here for the next 4 hours. Well, we have Cowboys Crosstalk coming up from 7 to 8, and then Fred and Blake from 8 to 11. And, man, there's so much good stuff to talk about. I bet they are absolutely chomping at the bit to get on air ASAP and start talking about these sports stories. And, guys, do we have so many of them today? The Rangers got two Jakes. The first one is a reliever out of Baltimore. He actually goes by Jacob Webb. And then you got Jake Berger, who's now probably the owner of the best name on the Texas Rangers. He's a power-hitting DH, first baseman, slugger type. And, of course, the news that broke just under 24 hours ago now that they've brought back Nathan Eovaldi. So it's been really nice to get in here and soak up some positive Rangers vibes today, guys.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, hopefully the Eovaldi thing, you know, the health factor, the length of that deal it's long and it's up there in price, but I think that was money well spent because, gosh, dude, the postseason stuff there, it's just undeniable.
I think with how things went with the Cowboys this last offseason and then with the Rangers, and I think the fans revolt if you don't bring back Eovaldi. It would be really tough to, you know, make a strong case that, no, actually, we are committed to winning. We're just trying to go younger and cheaper. It's going to work out great, guys. I think ultimately, pitching is a very finite resource. It's a crucial resource to have, and injuries are a big part of it. So, you know, you just accept that, and, you know, we'll hope that we can get Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom healthy to the postseason and then absolutely raise hell.
Yeah, and then having 30 home runs from Berger,
yeah,
that's huge, man.
It is. This offense definitely needs some pop. I like Wolchuk that they just didn't depend on. I know we all have confidence in these guys, but you can't depend on that if you're team building.
No, and Chris Young's not a guy that's going to ever, you know, sit pat and just not do anything. So I don't know that the moves are done. I saw Keith Law was actually saying that the person who could be moved here might be Ezekiel Duran with the addition of Berger, because he's got the ability to kind of play multiple infield spots, which so does Duran. But Duran's also a much better defender than a guy like Berger would be giving you. But maybe you get some value there on the trade market if you want to add a reliever or maybe another bat.
So speaking of off-season spending, guys, we got a pretty good signal from Stephen Jones just over an hour ago that it's going to be a similar off-season to 2024. We got Brian's thoughts on it. Where do you guys take that? Is there hope for being a strong playoff team next year or sneaking in? Like, what's your outlook for 2025 now, knowing that?
There's a lot of unknowns right now with what your coaching situation being. The cap is not a surprise. I mean, Brian and I got a pretty good source. This is back in the summer. When we were doing draft, just after we did draft stuff, that told us, like, 2025 is going to be worse. So that's not a shock. To me, it's just like, I don't know when they're ever not going to be in a cap issue. But if you bring back McCarthy, Zimmer, I guess, in the defense, I'd feel much more excited about going into next year. You don't have to have any type of that carryover of, oh, now they've got to learn a new defense. But it's just hard to really get excited about them as an offensive football team if they're going to stay status quo, because this thing didn't even look good with Dak. And what version of Dak are you getting?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would think a more stationary one, just maybe 10% less mobile or something like that as he gets up there in age and dealing with another significant injury. I think that's interesting. I do think it's wise from the Cowboys to
to put the smoke signals out there right now to begin preparing the fan base. You know, obviously there's going to be people that don't listen to sports radio and, you know, don't pay attention to what's being said. But I think now you go into March expecting very little, and you hope that they have, you know, a great draft at the end of April or early May, and that you can, you know, get some internal improvement. But that's the path to victory. You know, Mozzie Smith, Tyler Guyton, Cooper Beebe, I think those are the guys that got to step up. You hope for something with Tolbert and Brooks and maybe a young linebacker like Leofau. Like, if all those things happen, maybe you can be pretty good. Find a safety.
Yeah. Yeah, you're depending on a lot of dudes from within taking a pretty large step if you're looking to get back into the playoffs. I think they could be, in a perfect world, if this is going to be the plan, yeah, you could be probably a sneaky playoff team, assuming Dak is back to being, is, you know, pretty close to himself, you know, from especially the version from last year. But otherwise, you know exactly where this is heading. At best, it's a one and done playoff situation.
How's the phone going over there, Brian? Are you getting a job at UNC yet? You going to scout
for
Belichick?
I just am texting with Mike Lombardi, and he's very, very happy about the opportunity there. And Todd Archer was asking me, he goes, when are you going to UNC?
Right.
So I said, I'm trying to get to the lake. And Archer goes, well, he can get you to the lake. So I did talk to Michael. He's really, really happy about the opportunity and is looking forward to it. He said he'll catch up with me when things kind of die down a little bit. So a lot of things going on over there right now in Chapel Hill.
Well, jokes aside, you know, wouldn't be surprised if they want you. You know,
I've had my day in the sun.
Kids off to college.
No, I enjoy this a lot. I mean, I'm trying. Like I said, I'll be 61 tomorrow. And I got a plan.
We got to run. I got a plan, too. A little late, though. Sorry about
that.
Thanks to LA Live. Thanks to Carter Freeman. Yeah. Thanks to Brian Broaddus and Woolchuck and Chiafalo. I'm Gavin Dawson. Thanks to the Rangers and John Gray for having us out. Till tomorrow at 2 at Hurtado, you're going home with the nation. At ease.